Blog Talk Radio.
Think big. ThinkBigRadio.com for all of your realty, business, financial, entertainment, and networking needs. Big here, your host tonight. We've got a very special guest coming on here tonight. She writes books. She's a poet. She does a lot of different things, and I am so glad that she agreed to come on our show. Tamika Davis. Tamika, are you there?
Yes, I am. It's a pleasure being here tonight.
Thank you. Before we get started, we need to get out the most important thing is your contact information. How can our listeners reach you in the future?
Well, my name is Tamika Raquel. That's my pen name. So you can reach me by email. That's the most convenient. TamikaRaquel@AOL.com. That's TamikaRaquelle@AOL.com.
Okay, and for those out there who have a MySpace account, how will they be able to find you on MySpace?
Actually, it's myspace.com/modelpoet, and that's MODELPOET, model poet, at myspace.com/modelpoet.
Okay, now why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself, you know, where you're from, where you're at, so that they can get a feel of who this remarkable woman is.
Okay, well, my name is Tamika Raquel. I prefer to go by my pen name. I was born in Pittsburgh, and I was raised in Pittsburgh, but I lived a lot in Delaware. I started writing when I was 6 years old. I won this book contest, and that's when I found out that I had the gift for writing. Then I went on to write for my high school newspaper, and then when I got to college, I wrote for MTV, and I kind of forgot about writing because I got into some acting because I went to performance art college, and that sort of kind of like sidetracked me for a while with the modeling and acting, and then finally I stopped that to get my books published, and they're published by Publish America in the UK. They're new, actually, to the States, but publishamerica.com. And my two books, actually, I failed to mention. The first one is Lost and Found. I wrote that when I was in high school, when I was still in closet poet, because I was doing the high school newspaper, writing for them. And I wrote Lost and Found when I was in high school. So it's basically juvenile. I was still a young girl when I wrote it, so it would be found in the juvenile section. And the second one is like my later years after college, Canvas White. That's the title of the second book.
Okay, now the second book was entitled what now?
Canvas, C-A-N-V-A-S, White, W-H-I-T-E.
Canvas White. Now, would you say that your passion was in the writing and you just, you know, had started doing other different things before then? Or what is your passion? What makes Tamika feel? I mean, what makes you smile or what makes you angry? What is it?
Well, actually, writing has always been my favorite pastime. I can write and forget about time. That's how you know that's your niche, because you forget the sense of time when you're doing it. But it wasn't as glamorous as acting and singing. My mom's a singer, and she always wanted me to sing. And I know a lot of actors and dancers and stuff like that, and they always used to tell me, you know, I should get into that. It's just more glamorous of a career, and, you know, sometimes writing, it can be, you know, not as glamorous, and people, it doesn't appeal to people as much. But writing has always been my passion. I could write and write and write and write and forget about time.
Wow, that's something else. You're the first person that I've ever heard explain just a passion like that. Period. That if it makes you forget about time, you know, it's just timeless. That's poetic in itself. Normally, we really talk to our guest about different things, but I'd like for you to just go right into your book and just share something with, you know, our listeners that'll move them.
Well, like I said before, Lost and Found, I wrote that in high school, but I think most of my favorite poems is in that book, and in the first book, Lost and Found, and I want to share a couple with you. I am a feminist by nature, but you're not necessarily a man-hater when you're a feminist, and I just want to share one of my favorite poems that I give homage to my father, because I'm a daddy's girl. I'm my father's daughter, and it's called The Roll. It's not that long. It's like longer than most of them, but I would like to share this poem called The Roll with you, and it's just giving homage to my father and consequently all the men in my life. And it goes like this. When I hear your voice, it sounds so familiar. I'm comfortable with the warmness and tenderness you bring for speaking. It contains that authority and depth that my father used to have. It leads and guides me through those troubled waters, and the feeling of my direction is stirred within me that he has pounded so deep. It makes me feel protected whenever you're around. The familiar bass resolute in my eardrums is very much profound, a rhythm that is so sweet to my soul. The echo of his strike resonates so loud. Oh, would my daddy be so proud? And it compels me to draw closer to the roll. I remember when he used to call my name. I hear it crystal clear as if it were just yesterday. It brings tears to my eyes and longing in my heart. Talk to me in that sensitive, caring way. Father me, will you, with that strong voice of yours. Give me back those days that were cut short and had me longing for more. I am your daughter, forever loyal on your behalf. My chest swells with ecstasy whenever you make me laugh. I explode with relief anytime you ask me questions of concern. A sense of protection that cannot be denied, an intuition that has by you been born. A solid shield of love surrounded me, and I feel complete knowing you were there. It's safe to trust and test these waters, for my father has taught me how to swim. Yes, I can even breathe underwater where the air is fresh and clean. My baptism has taken place, and I am rejuvenated and reborn each time, it seems. Beneath the surface, I can feel my heart beating inside of me so loud as I breathe. The familiar bass resolute in my eardrums, a rhythm that is so sweet to my soul. The echo of its strike resonant so loud. Oh, will my daddy be so proud? And it compels me to swim closer to the roll. And it compels me to swim closer to the roll. And it compels me to swim closer to the roll. And that's it.
That is nice. I love the line about you can breathe underwater.
Where the air is fresh and clean and my baptism has taken place. And the roll, when someone asked me what the roll meant, and you know, the roll refers to the drum roll and the familiar bass that resolutes in my eardrums, which I constantly refer to as my father's voice, the bass, the you know.
Wow.
The depth of, you know, of a man's voice.
Now, earlier when you mentioned that you were in acting and singing, and I know those are, you know, they're definitely high income earning fields, and every now and then you do have an author who has that charisma or who has so much work that they're able to do that, and they don't have to really go out and act for, you know, X amount of hours on the set and or go all these different concerts, and they can still become, you know, as successful financially. What was your draw to the writing court? I mean, is it just the way that you view certain areas of the industry, or is just like not right for you, but the writing is what you lose your time in? Like when you said, it's just, you know, similar to timelessness.
Yeah, and you get to set your own hours and be yourself. And a lot of, when you act, you have to become a role. You have to become that character. And when you're a writer, you can become everything. And not necessarily physically, but in your mind, you can play every character. And it doesn't take that much energy and effort. And it's just as rewarding and satisfying to me. But a lot of people like to be seen. You know, I don't really put a lot of emphasis on being seen, but you have to be seen, which I learned to sell something. You know, you have to make your product visible and yourself visible. And that's definitely necessary when it comes to sales and marketing. But acting, I'd rather be experiencing life, you know, fully as opposed to, like, doing movies and stuff like that. And I just want you to know that I played a writer in a movie, but I wasn't actually writing for that movie. I was playing a writer at a writer seminar conference in one of the scenes. Ironically, which is what to me is so funny, because it's I was actually a writer, and I got like one of my biggest roles as a writer, in the movie Wonder Boys. And I think it's only because I looked like a writer that they chose me for that scene.
You know what? That's funny that you say that, because a lot of times people can actually see, you know, what you are, and you get that type of casting, or not, I wouldn't say necessarily, but just you might have a certain look, or, you know, when they chose you, it was maybe the feel that you had. Because even in some of your photos, even like the one that I'm marketing with you, so the people know you're on the show, you know, you have that type of writer's look, you know, or someone that you can talk to that just has a deep, you know, consciousness about certain things.
Mm. Okay.
Now, why would you write poetry as opposed to, you know, like being a journalist or a reporter, like, you know, early in your career?
I'm so glad you asked that, because, again, even though I'm not playing a role, a defined role, specific role in a movie as a character, but at the same time, in journalism, you have to report the facts. You can't be creative. It's not really a creative type of field. And you can't even write biasly in your articles. Because then they'll know where you stand if you're writing on a specific point. So it's like it's either who, what, when, where, and why, or how. And I just thought that was just like the worst. So I didn't want to be a journalist. Poetry is very creative and it's so wide open. You could just be as creative as possible. You don't really have to worry about sentence structure and grammar and reporting the facts, and it's just awesome to write poetry, and even still, and then the interpretations, you get so much different interpretations from people. You know, not the same person doesn't get the same meaning from it, which makes it even more diverse.
So would you rather prefer someone to ask you, what did you mean by that, or you ask them, what did you take me to mean from that? What's better for you?
I'd rather them get their own meaning, because I feel as though that's what they're supposed to get from it anyway. Because reality is based on perception, and really what you perceive, that's what's going to be real to you anyway. So me telling them something, if they already believe it's something else and they feel it to be something else, that's what's going to be real and true to them. So
wow.
I'm gonna let them stick with that, as opposed to me telling them what it really means. And I've seen certain feedbacks about different poems, and I'm just like, wow, you know, I'm fascinated by how people think and the way differently and stuff.
Mm-hmm. So.
And plus, you get different ideas too.
Right.
You get more ideas from just listening to what people think it means. You know, you may get an idea for a new poem from what they think.
So now, when some of the poems that you may write or things may have people, you know, considering you're a feminist or a man hater. What would be your answer to that? I mean, do you consider yourself a feminist? And
sure. Also, yeah, absolutely.
Also, you're a man hater too.
No. You can be a feminist and be for you know, you don't have to hate men to be a feminist. You're just all for the growth and the progression of women. You know, you're just for that. And, you know, most times a lot of feminists are married and their husbands, they support them all the way.
Okay.
You know, we have come so far as women, and we still have yet to go. We still have so much to accomplish as women, and who knows? We may or may not reach our full potential.
Wow. Now, you know, with our show, Think Big Radio, you know, one of the things that we talk about is that, you know, our faith or different things that have led us to, you know, see certain things. So what is your faith or belief?
Well, actually, I don't have a particular faith. I just believe that everyone's ultimate purpose should be to have some sort of relationship, a connection with God, and however they get to God, it really doesn't matter. It's just that you have a relationship with God. And I just try to incorporate him as much as I can. Me being the human that I am, I try to incorporate him as much as I possibly can in the things that I say and do. But, you know, still keeping in consideration that I am human.
Wow, that's great. I definitely understand what you say, because a lot of people brought up and the different sects and religion and different just ways that they serve God, when, you know, I, for one, my belief is that, you know, pretty much similar to yours, that, you know, I know that we're all sinners. That's just something that you're born with, but just to try to do the right things and, you know, do what's right.
Mm-hmm. And that's ultimately what is most important. Most
now,
best intentions, you know.
Before we go any further, how can our guests find out how to reach you? I mean, if I wanted to reach Tamika Raquel, what would I do?
You can, if you have a MySpace account, you can go to www.myspace.com/modelpoet, and you can leave me a message there. Or you can go to my personal email account, which is TamikaRaquel@AOL.com. Or if you're interested, because, you know, when I'm not writing, I'm producing a television show called Fresh Faces. If you would like to be a featured model on the show, you can email me at becomeafreshface@yahoo.com, which is one word, becomeafreshface@yahoo.com. There.
Okay.
I said it.
So you got it out, huh?
Uh-huh.
You're listening to ThinkBigRadio.com, where big thinkers come to teach and learn. Your goals are our goals, and your success makes us successful. Now, every now and then, we have people that listen to our show. They'll call in. Either they want to make a comment, ask a question, or they just want to listen. So we have a caller from the 773-503 is the phone number, 773 area code 503. I'm going to put that caller on. And caller, if you'd like to make a comment or ask a question, just let us know your name and where you're from.
Good day, Think Big Radio. I'm in route. Actually, I didn't expect you to go into your question form this soon, but as listening to the show, my question pretty much is, how would you, or what advice could you give to someone that's interested in actually starting to write their book or their their own publication. How could they start to do that?
Okay, I'm going to mute that caller because of the background information. So did you hear the question?
I would say dedicate each time, each day to set aside time, begin your book, and treat it as if you were reporting on a 9-to-5 job. Like, get up. You know what? The best time, I would say get up the best time that you feel you write the best each day. Like, if you feel like writing in the morning, get up every morning and write every day until your book is finished. Or if you write better at night, get up at night and write every day, like, before you go to bed. And I would say, you know, try to go through a publisher once you're finished. Try to go through a publisher, because that way it's the least expensive. That's the route I've taken. But if you have money, you know, of your own, you can self-publish, which, you know, if you have your own money, you can do that. But I would just say dedicate your time and effort to writing your book each day as if it was your job, your only job.
Okay.
Can you share with us the particular publisher that you use, so that you could get your start? That's pretty much where I'm directing my question to. Do you have, like, a particular publisher that you know that can help a first time just starting out?
I always refer everyone, of course, to the publisher I went through, and that's publishamerica.com. That's their website. It's one word, Publish America, and you can read all about them from the website, and you don't have to pay anything, and they publish you. If they choose you, they'll publish you. And what you do is you submit your manuscript. Then you have all the details on the website for you to read over.
Okay. Wow, that's great. Okay, so with that, can you give us another one of your poems?
Sure. A big concern for all of us women is love, and sometimes, you know, love can end in positive ways, and it can end in negative ways. And I want to leave it up to the listeners and the readers to find out if this love will actually end in a positive or a negative way. And this poem is called "I'm in Love with a Gigolo." And it goes like this. I'm in love with a gigolo, in hopes I may rehabilitate his ways so despicable. There's got to be some love for me deep down inside somewhere. I'm in love with a gigolo. He's not very fond of women. As a matter of fact, he hates women. Can't trust them as far as the eye can see, but he's got to have some love for me. It goes to show sometimes that whatever you put out will come back, because I am a man-hater. Can't trust men as far as the eye can see. Yet, I give all my love to thee. Maybe it takes one to show one, a hater for a hater, to disprove all past conditioning and build hope for true love. I'm in love with a gigolo, and I can give him what he's missing, for I know what I'm missing. It's awesome to know that I can give to someone in need just like me. And as I heal him, I will heal myself. I'm in love with a gigolo. He, too, feels the same way. And our attachment to one another is far beyond what can be explained. We were placed in each other's paths because we both look for the same. A hater for a hater. Searching for love in all the places we never thought could be found. But as we looked around, we saw mirror images, reflections of our soul's need, calling each other's name in hopes for our plea. And a man-hater and a woman-hater, together, we know what to hate and to embrace love, because we know what we want. We know what we don't want. Makes us a perfect match. I'm in love with a gigolo. And that's it. You still there?
Yeah, I'm just listening and thinking about some of the words and how you put that together. Can I ask you, a lot of times when we write poetry, it's either from personal experience or something we might see, read. How'd you come up with that one?
Actually, I'm glad you said that. Both books are fiction, but I did take a lot of my own real life experiences and put them in the poems, but I embellished them a little bit. But I'm in Love with a Gigolo, that actually is based on my life, past life. I met a gentleman, and he was a gigolo. We fell in love, and he no longer was. Of course, he wasn't a gigolo when he met me, but he had been, done that, and just was a part of that lifestyle for a very long time. Still kind of had like the mentality of it, but no, that actual poem is like from my life.
Wow.
But the books are, don't get me wrong, the book is embellished, but it's mostly fiction.
Okay.
But, that's what most writers write. They write from their own experiences, but then exaggeration, if you incorporate that makes the best material.
Wow, right,
If you exaggerate, and if you exaggerate, it becomes fiction.
Now, what would you say was your biggest challenge when it came to writing and letting people know that this is what you wanted to do? What was the challenge that you faced?
Just being compared to others. As writers, we are a writer as in our own right. We're writers in our own right. And most, they don't understand that, and they compare you to Robert Frost, or just the classical poet, and Sylvia Plath, all of them, and that's really, really hard to conquer, and there's no competition, because all writers are just, we're different.
Wow. So one of the things that you say was is just that you would like for people to just look at your style and see that for who you are instead of comparing.
Right. Like, it should be like this. Like, they base what you should do on standards that has come before you.
Okay.
On poets that have become, that came before you. You definitely should keep that in consideration. And I usually don't try to read people's stuff, other poets' material and works, because, you can get sidetracked and start taking on their writer's voice.
Wow.
A lot of times you start becoming them because you're basing so much importance on what they're writing that you just want to be like them. So I tend not to read other poets' work.
Now, I heard you
tell that young lady that too, that called in. She mentioned, what advice I should have told her that too. If she's still listening, don't read other poets' works, because then you'll try to take on that writer's voice and you'll get mixed up and confused, and then a lot of other people will probably compare her on what she should do and on what others have done.
Okay.
So what were you going to say?
What would be a if there was one thing you could tell the people out there who were just now getting started, and I know you mentioned earlier about, write the best time for you, whether it's in the morning, early, or at night. What's something that you can say, a word of advice or some wisdom that you received that enabled you to keep pushing forward?
There was nowhere else for me to go. Really, this is what I was supposed to do, am doing, and am going to do. And I felt like if I didn't do it, there was nothing else for me. I couldn't go anywhere or do anything else. So I had to do it.
Wow, that is... That's passion. I mean, that's, you know what? It's funny because that's how I feel about what I do, which is real estate. It's like there could be 100 different things going on, but I know what in my heart that I have to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's one of the reasons why I'm as successful as I am and becoming more successful every day is because, you know, I gave up all to really do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the same time, I still have time to network with, you know, big thinkers like yourself, you know, across the country just by this medium. Before we go any further, how can people get in touch with you?
Well, you can, if you have a MySpace account, you can reach me, email me on my MySpace page, which is myspace.com/modelpoet, that's MODELPOET, or my personal email account, which is Tomeka Raquel, TomekaRoquelle, @AOL.com.
Okay, we got that. Now, what else are you doing? I mean, because we know that your true passion is poetry, and we know that you also have a passion for assisting young people and models. What would be a third thing that's on your menu? Like, you know, when you're making your millions from your book and you're, you know, making your millions from the TV show and things of that sort, what's something else that you like that's just relaxing? May not be a super passion, but something you enjoy.
Oh, I would love to travel. I do travel. I love to travel because I'm inspired by all the new, like, great things that I see. And that's how I get inspired to write most times, is going into a new place and getting the energy of a city. And I really, 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 really like L.A., like California. I don't know, like, I get a surge of energy and just, I'm, like, so inspired to just write. And another place, too, was Colorado. I mean, I don't know what it is, but it's, like, the spiritual surge of just creative energy. You just want to just...
It's just the air in the mountains out there. I know what you mean. It's beautiful.
It is. Oh, you've been out there. I know. It's wonderful. It's like another world, isn't it?
It's weird when you're from, well, you know, from a big city or something, and then you get to travel to these places, and it's just like, you know, at Colorado, it's kind of just like a postcard, you know, when you're out there, and the air is even different.
Mm-hmm. And I like Chicago, too. I thought Chicago was awesome. It was fantastic. I'm from Pittsburgh, and, I don't think any city is prettier than my city. But when I went to Chicago, I was like, wow. Like, architecturally, it's prettier than Pittsburgh because the way the city was designed. I mean, you can really, really appreciate that. Like, how you can leave the city and go right to the beach.
Yeah.
Like they have us all. I can't believe it.
Yeah, that is something. One of the things that I kind of missed about Chicago when I traveled to Atlanta was when I was in their downtown area. It was just I wanted to just walk right up to the lakefront, and it's not gonna happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's one thing about growing up in Chicago. You just have that feeling that the lake is so close.
Mm-hmm.
When you're in a city that's, you know, similar to yours or the areas.
I know.
Now tell us a little bit more about your TV show.
Okay, well, I'm sorry, go ahead.
How were you inspired to create that? I mean, how did that come about?
My niece was 13. She wants to model, right? And there's really no outlets for young people to be seen and model and do stuff. And my niece was 13, and then I had a cousin who was 16. She was like, yeah, I want to model. And I hear a lot of young girls say that, and it's just nowhere for them to do it. And I was just like, you know what? I'm going to produce this TV show. And it was so easy to become a producer at the TV show in Pittsburgh, PCTV. Which is a nonprofit television station. So you can become a producer just like that. Next thing you know, it's just like I was producing and doing tapings of the show. And I had 13 girls to start out with, though, but when it came down to the actual taping in the studio, a lot of them was intimidated by the cameras because they weren't used to it. But, you know, it was fun. And my niece and my cousin did actually, they were like one of the main models that stayed with me for the duration of the short time that it did run in that area. So that's how it all began with family members. Inspired me to do something to help them.
So do you see yourself creating something similar with that and poetry?
Oh yeah, for sure. I when they were changing between takes, changing their clothes to come out on the camera, I would do a poem. You know, I would do a poem or two so I can give them time to change their clothes. And I just think that you can incorporate that easily, poetry and modeling, when it comes to the show.
Wow.
Yeah, and plus, you know, television, the electronic media, period, like television, radio, you can reach so many people without actually going anywhere. And I never really was a guerrilla marketer. Like, I've never believed in, like, just, you know, just putting books in my trunk and just peddling it and hustling it and just getting it out to the mat. I don't know why it never appealed to me, but I just like electronic media better because it just reached so much more people. And, you know, you're just like in one place doing your thing. So I do believe that in the future I will continue to use radio and television to market and to help those as well, as many as I can.
Wow, that's big thinking. We love when our guests come on and they you know, talk about helping people. It just shows that they have a big heart and that they know that no matter how far along they are, that they always continue, you know, to reach back. And in some cases, the lives of our big thinkers are so, you know, they're so detailed down to the last minute of what they're going to do that one of the ways that they can only reach back is to just, you know, do an interview here or there and, you know, give pointers and leave their contact information. Mm-hmm. I'd like for you to share another one of your poems with us.
Okay. Let's see. I would like to do something on spirituality. And it's so funny because this was a song before. It was a poem, then it became a song, then I put it back to the poem when I went from singer back to writer. And the poem is called Bigger Than Myself. And it's a pretty short poem, and it goes like this. I lost something, or is it I'm missing something? I keep searching for the answer because I'm so empty. Yes, I am very empty, and I'm searching for the answer. I want something bigger than myself, bigger than the movies, bigger than my beauty, bigger than death, bigger than money, bigger than my honey, bigger than good sex. My gods have failed me, and they can't satisfy me in my longing. I'm still longing. I want to live for God. I need to live for God. But I don't know who He is anymore. My understanding so cloudy. I can't see my way, and I want to be whole. I need something bigger than myself, bigger than the movies, bigger than my beauty, bigger than death. I need something bigger than money, bigger than my honey, bigger than good sex. That was one of my short ones. I also have another one that's based on spirituality and, you know, God. And it's called Everything. And it goes like this. Life is energy. I feel so alive. I have very clear visions of my dreams by and by. I feel so glorious, but I know the day will come. wrath of the finer things of life and sit and just mellow under the sun. O God, you are the very essence of my being, and you are indeed the true meaning of success. I close my eyes and meditate on these things, which I feel make me truly blessed. I have no doubt in my mind that you are all that I need. You are my whole peace, love, and joy, everything I need to breathe. And you know what? I'm reading most of the poems from my first book. I really like my first book better. I don't know why. Most of my favorite poems are from the first book, Lost and Found. And
you know,
I want to get a chance though to read from the second book, Canvas White, if I get a chance during this interview.
Well, we've got 4 minutes left. Do you think you can find a great poem from that one?
Awesome. Okay. Yes. To realize. Okay. I want to say really, really quickly that I equate redemption with freedom, because when you're redeemed, you're set free. And also freedom goes along with being yourself, being real. And I wrote this poem based on what I just said, and it's called To Realize, and this is from my second book, Canvas White, and it goes like this. I wake up screaming in the night because I couldn't feel. I was so indifferent, I was living a lie. Is this what people say it is to have lived? So why is it that I feel numb, cold even? I make myself scream in the night. I want to feel, I want to be all right. I pinch myself and give myself a wake-up call. I came all this way just to find. I fought and struggled throughout all this time, just to finally arrive to see that it was a lie, and never ever have I felt so empty inside. I was deluded by such pretty packaging that I talked me into a vacuuming that sucked my awareness, my consciousness right out of me. I was like a ghost, the life sucked right out of me. I came all this way just to realize that all I search for can never be seen. It can only be felt through the heart, the feeling, the way you feel when your little ones looks at you and how you never ever want to part. To be real is to feel and don't deny what you truly and deeply feel inside. To not sell your soul for material things in exchange for your heart, we've all been a victim of, guilty of, such hard, tangible things sought. But in the seeking, there is a valuable lesson to be taught. To be real is to not deny what you truly and deeply feel inside. No matter how huge a part you've played in living a lie, you can come back. You can fully realize that your life can truly mean something, and it doesn't have to be a lie. You don't have to continue to participate with people who justify this, because it will only make you feel more empty inside. You don't have to continue to participate with situations that justify this, because it will only make you feel more empty inside. Because now all these people, places, and things will be a constant reminder that you are living a lie, and you want to be real. You have to become aware and fully realize. To be real is to feel and don't deny what you truly and deeply feel inside. Don't live a lie. Realize. And that was from my second book, Canvas White. And both of them deals with salvation in the non-traditional sense, and to redemption and just finding oneself and growth and all of that. And I believe God, he can redeem anyone. He's a redeemer. And if I could describe God in one word, and it would be redeemer, because that's who he is to me. And, you know, to be redeemed is to be set free. And you can be yourself, you know, basically, when you're free. And that's really what the book teaches, and help women to know and understand.
If you guys are interested in her poetry, interested in her books, you know how to reach her. This is winding down the interview. Think big. ThinkBigRadio.com for all your realty, business, financial, entertainment, and networking needs. You just heard Tamika Raquel, one of our big thinkers. We'd like for you to join us tomorrow night and Thursday night, as always. Think big, everyone.
Blog Talk.